Think I'm shrinking with age. I'm Melissa, alcoholic. My sobriety date is October 13th of 2013, and I have a home group. It's a little south of Richmond. It's actually in Chester, and it's called Seeking Serenity. We meet on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, and if any of y'all are that way, please join us. Thank Billy for asking me to come speak. He gave me a list of dates, and I picked the one that fit, suited me. And he was like, "Bummer, I'm not going to be there." So I'm sad he's not here tonight, he and Lynn. But I've known them since I came to AA back in 2005, and that was my original sobriety date. And I've had one shot since then, so that's pretty good. But anyway, yeah. So I grew up south of Richmond in a small town, Hopewell, and I'm an only child, and my dad drank like a fish. My mom never drank a drop. So that's, I grew up with that. My dad was, I would say, a fun drunk. There was no, like, I wasn't worried. There was no danger in my house, anything crazy like that, but definitely, he would always stop at the bar on his way home from work. And, sometimes my mom and I would have to go pick him up and, cause we needed him to go to work the next day. So we would, have to go pick him up, or he'd either come home with his friends from work and go out in our garage and, drink out there, play pool. We had a fireplace out there, and he was too a blackout drinker. So, like, I remember as a kid, the fire trucks all came to our house one night, and my dad was unaware. The next day he woke up, "What happened in the garage?" Because something happened to the wood stove and it caught fire, and so we had to call the fire, fire department to come to our house, and my dad had no idea till the next day. But anyway, and I guess some good things about my dad and my mom were, he would always take me everywhere with him. So I don't know if that's good or bad. Lots of drinking and driving. I was always in the car. My mom worked a lot. She worked a lot of nights. So he would take me wherever he was going, like fishing holes. My grandfather drank, my uncles, they were hunters, fishermen. And so I'd go with them and hang out with them while they were drinking, fishing, whatever, eat candy, chips, all the thing, anything I wanted, and visit with other friends, cousins, whoever that we were hanging out with. And that was my childhood. Grew up a lot at my grandparents' house, and they were really fun country people. And I loved my childhood, even though my dad drank a lot. It was, it was fine. Until later, I got a little older. My cousins weren't really allowed to spend the night at our house. So I became aware of that. I could stay at their house, but they couldn't stay at our house because they all went to church and we didn't really go to church. I'd go with them. They'd invite me and I could stay at their house, but they just weren't sure what was going on, at my house with my dad drinking so much, even though really wasn't much. He was passing out or wasn't home. And so then later on, when I started to drink, well, my first taste of alcohol was from my dad. As a young kid, I was going to get a beer and I was like, "Let me take a sip of this," and it tastes terrible. And I didn't like it. And, that was really young. So there was no feeling produced, nothing, none of that. It was just a sip and it was nasty. And so then later, at parties they would have, or we'd go out to my uncle's house and he lived on a farm and they'd have big purple passion things with all the fruit. And then I was like, so I probably did get a buzz from some of that, like eating all the fruit as a kid. The alcohol was totally absorbed in. So that was some other first time experiences with alcohol. But, later in my teenage years, I did enjoy the feeling produced by alcohol. And I would drink instead of, a sip or two out of a bottle of wine, we'd go by like Boone's Farm by the bottle and I could finish off the whole bottle and then two bottles. And yeah, and that tasted a little bit better than beer, but soon beer was fine too. And because I liked what was happening with the alcohol in my body. I could open up more, I could just be free, whatever, all the things. And just kind of be out of my mind a little bit where I didn't have to worry too much or think about too much or, and do whatever. I was free, right? Free bird. And then later that got me, kind of following in my dad's footsteps. I didn't know I was an alcoholic. I always compared myself to him and I wasn't that bad. And so I wasn't getting in trouble with the law yet. My dad got so many DUIs and he got off of them a lot because, it was a small town. Back then it was just different. He could get a lawyer and, didn't get in all the trouble that people get into these days. And so, yeah, that was me. And so then later it became, where's the party at? When I got invited to weddings, I was like, oh man, or if I was in someone's wedding, as long as there was alcohol, I would be there. But I wasn't very dependable as I got older. You couldn't depend on me to show up. I started lying a lot. And like I said, my mom never drank, so I guess she could see me following my dad's footsteps. And when I turned 18, she decided that she was just going to leave because she had been married to my dad that whole time. And I was grown and not doing well, but I was 18. I was growing up now, so she was going to leave my dad. And she did. And she moved in with her mom and my grandma for a bit. And the party was on at my house at that point because she was gone. I had a friend move in. I was also the young adult underage still that would go with my dad to the bars later and be able to drink in there underage without a fake ID because I was with my dad and I don't know if they thought I was his girlfriend or I have no idea. But I could drink underage all the time. I drove my dad around a lot. But then he got embarrassing. Like it was a little embarrassing for me too. The friend I moved in, I remember one night we came home, my dad was home, and he had obviously been drinking and whatever else. And I remember my friend and I come home, and we were bringing a couple other people with us to the house for the after party. And my dad was butt naked in front of the fireplace, passed out, I think with like a mirror and a line of Coke in front of me. I mean, it was, I was like, oh God, because when my mom left, he really went downhill for a little bit. And then he sobered up, not with AA, and he hasn't had a drink or a drug in many, many years now. So I think, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he does a little gambling these days, so he doesn't have all the tools we have here to live a lot differently, but he hasn't had to drink. And he hasn't drugged any, AA is not the only way, I guess. I'll go with that. But it has been the way for me. So fast forward a bit, I mean, I ended up getting trouble with the law, over the years. Sick relationships with men, boys, whatever you want to call them. And I used to blame them. And sure, some of it was definitely their fault, but it was nice to not hold on to all of that in this different way of life we get in AA. So I have been able to get past all of that with, the steps of AA. It's good sponsorship and all that stuff. So, and I was sick too, it wasn't just them. I had a huge part in all of that. I don't know. So the drinking thing, I mean, there was a little drugs, but not much. It was always drinking for me. But once I got started, I would participate in other things if it made me stay up longer so I could drink more. But pretty much it was alcohol for me. Marijuana would put me to sleep, make me super hungry, stuff like that. And then there was snorting a couple lines here and there just to keep me up longer. And it was all free, which was great too, because there was always boys supplying these things. But yeah, alcohol was it. And then later it became me coming home, passing out and blacking out, and not remembering and not knowing what I did or who I went home with or where my car was or things like that. I couldn't show up when I said I was going to show up for family events. And lots of sick relationships, like I said, that became kind of dangerous relationships that I put myself in, where, I ended up having to go to court over these things. It's not anything I love talking about, but it's definitely part of my story. And today I'm reminded of that when I'm sharing with other women in AA about abusive relationships I've been in and things like that, which have turned out to be helpful, right? Who knew? And then, and another thing is my job. I currently work and have worked in this job for a long time, many years, at the dentist, and in the town where I grew up and where I got in trouble with the law and where all of these things happened to me, where I was at court with, it's kind of embarrassing things, but they have been useful. But sometimes someone from the law or someone from the court will be my patient at work. So that's really interesting today. I'm like, oh God, oh, I'm not going to give them my maiden name. No, I'm kidding. But because but the great thing is, the change that happens here. I mean, what a miracle of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and what that's done for me and changed my way of life and the way I live. And I'm grateful for that. So, I was totally, I'm still a little selfish. I am an only child, so I think I'll always be a little bit selfish, self-centered, but it doesn't rule me today. I can get out of that today. I can be of service to others today. I don't have to stay stuck in the selfish self-centeredness that I was in before I came here and changed. But I can tell you one more extremely selfish thing I did that caused, a lot of family harm when I was drinking was this one particular sick relationship I had for a couple years on and off. I ended up moving with this man to Florida, which, just on a whim, just left, didn't even tell my mom and dad because, they knew he was trouble. I was trouble, but they, there was fear around that relationship for my parents, fear of what else I was going to get into, right? Or what he might do to me, physical harm or whatever. And yeah, so we made up one time and, he's like, well, let's just get away. The geographic change that will help our relationship. So I just up and moved with him to Florida, left my dog that I had just gotten with my parents and just up and moved. And called him a day or two later and told him that I had moved. And my mom, being an only child, and the relation, just she, yeah, she's real codependent, and she, yeah, she lost down to about 75 pounds when I left, and came down to Florida to visit me with her mom, my grandmother, who I did not like. Because she was always telling me the truth, in a mean way, not a nice way. We'll just go with that, in a straight up way, and I needed to hear it. It really hurt, but I was so selfish and self-centered back then that I didn't take all of that in too much. But anyway, so she drove my mom down to Florida a month or whenever they came to visit, and I'd seen how small my mom, but she's always a small person, but she literally was sick, and that's just some of the harm I've done to my family, and many other things. So yeah, so another thing, coming into AA and being able to get rid of that, and make amends to the people I've harmed, and living amends. Not just verbally, because I verbally have said, oh my God, I'm so sorry, like a million times to people. Or, oh my God, I won't do that again. I've even told myself, oh, I'm not going to drink like that again. Oh my God, I'm not going to do that again. I just can't do that again. Oh God, please help me out of this problem. And that was my relationship too with a higher power back then. My higher power was punishing. I went to church with cousins. I would. I felt something when I went in the church, but it was just guilt, remorse, fear that I was going to hell for all the stuff I'd done. And a punishing God is what I had. And I rarely went to church, but when I went, that's what I had. And so coming to AA too, I mean, that has completely changed for me. Thank God, And now I have a loving God who's forgiving and who I talk to every day, not just, oh my God, get me out of this predicament, So you guys changed that for me, just this way of life and giving me some instructions. And I was desperate enough to come in here and hear something. I wasn't court ordered here or anything like that, but it was another failed relationship. Basically, I ended up getting married and thinking, oh, this is great, this will be good, this will settle everything down or whatever. And he's a great man, so I got married. And and he could see too that there was a problem with the drinking, so that there was an ultimatum of like, hey, we got to do something about this. So my first, I went to some counseling, and because my relationships were all suffering, right? So I wasn't sure about the alcohol yet. I was still kind of comparing myself, and I didn't even think alcoholic. That was not what I was thinking. So I started going to a counselor for these failed relationships and just what's wrong with me? Why do I do these things? And so I'm going, and she wanted to put me on some medications for anxiety and this and this. And I'm kind of anti-meds, so I didn't go for that, but I did keep meeting with her for quite a while. And eventually, with me sharing with her, she gave me a when and where to AA. So she was my, and my only experience with AA before that was my dad being court ordered to go to some meetings when I was little, and we'd go. Because I said my mom worked, I went with him everywhere, right? So we'd go and then we'd leave, and he'd get a 12 pack after the meeting. And, and that was my first time ever seeing AA back then when I was a kid. So she gave me this when and where, and she pointed out a good meeting. I was living in Richmond, and I ended up going to it because I don't know. I was already going to counseling. I was like, what's wrong with me? Okay, I'll try this, right? So I go in, and it's huge. It's on Monument Avenue in Richmond. It's probably like 100 people, if I had to guess. And I'm parking. And of course, the meeting started at, just say it was, I don't know, it was a morning meeting. So if it was 9 a.m., I got there at like 2 minutes to 9, pulled in, came in. There were no seats. I was like, wow, this is packed. I sat in the back and listened. And I mean, it was great. I was like, wow. And I'm still trying to hold on to my marriage, right? And he's like giving me this ultimatum. So I'm like, so I go, and I liked what I heard. And then I go back home, and I'm like, well, it was good. I'll go back next Saturday. It was Saturday mornings, I think. And so I go, and I went for I don't know how long, but and I think I stayed without a drink for about a year now. I do not remember the steps. I do not remember sponsorship. I don't remember anything like that. I just remember what the people were sharing about their feelings and how they felt and how they drank and things like that, and what was going on inside of them. And I related. So I kept going back. And I was not drinking either. So I was like, this is great. And that's all I really heard. So I didn't pick up any tools of anything. And I just thought I had it. And so then I ended up not going back after a while, because I hadn't drank, and I was like, this is good. And our marriage had resolved a little bit. And within I don't know how long, I got into the dental school at MCV, and I was going there. And man, was I chimed into the people going out partying after, because that's what I'm attracted to. What's, And then I was missing out, right? I was missing out on whatever they were doing. And the first year or so, I probably didn't partake, but I don't remember how long it took before I was going out after school with them, before I was drinking again, before I was lying and not coming home, before I was going into class ashamed to look at people because I don't even know what I did last night. That kind of stuff. So that, that all that stuff came back. But somehow I managed to, I mean, I graduated there magna cum laude of my class. I don't know how I kept held that all together, but it was pretty embarrassing when I had to get up and get awards though, because I had gone out the night before, you know, we're about to graduate and everything's, you know, and I'm like, great, I passed my boards, all the things, and I show up for these awards and I'm like embarrassed. You know, I should be feeling great. This is quite an accomplishment, but I remember just, you know, not knowing what I said to that person or did or anything. You know, it's pretty embarrassing actually. So anyway, I ended up getting desperate again and I'm probably getting another ultimatum by my husband. And so I ended up coming back to AA and he actually would come with me. We didn't have any kids at this point. Thank God. We had tried, but we didn't have any. So thank God he didn't bless me with any back then. And so I came into AA in 2005, which was my first sobriety date. So this was around then. I came back and I went to meetings close to my house this time. And it was Jaywalkers, which was my first home group of 3 years. And my husband went with me to that meeting, probably because he didn't trust me, but he actually accompanied me to the meetings for a long time and he got to know the people and so did I. And I loved, well, not at the time, I love the meeting now, because what they used to do was it was a newcomers meeting one night and then it was 2 nights a week, and then the Friday night was something else. But the newcomers meeting was everybody, you know, you go around and introduce yourself, and it was like, oh, I'm Melissa, I'm an alcoholic, I have a sponsor. But I would say I don't have a sponsor, because you had to say if you had a sponsor, whether you talked to them, when the last time you talked to them was, and your sobriety date, right? So every week I was going and I was like, I don't have a sponsor. You know, and it's kind of cool because it holds you accountable a little bit, and you're like, wow, I don't feel part of the group, because most of them had a sponsor, most of them had talked to them. So I'm like, what is this even about? So I heard it that time, right? And or it was in there, you know, I might have heard it at that first meeting I told you, but I didn't hear it. So this time I was hearing it. And so then I went over to those pamphlets that you guys have, and they had them too. And I like picked up a pamphlet on sponsorship because I was like, what is that? So I took it home. They were talking about all the things. It was a beginner meeting where they were talking about the tools of the program, like the pamphlets, the telephone, a sponsor, the steps, all the things, a higher power, like all these things they were talking about for the newcomer. And so I went and picked up a pamphlet on sponsorship and a home group and just all the things. Took it home, read them a little bit, and eventually, well, not eventually, immediately all the women came up to me at the meeting and they were very welcoming. There was a greeter at the door shaking my hand. He was there every week for my husband and I. And, you know, it was very welcoming. I feel like I got a load of information and I was able to hear it. And I was desperate enough to do something different. So I ended up getting a sponsor and she's still my sponsor today. She lives in Ashland, and that was her home group too. And so there was just a lot of solid AA in there, thank God. And they were talking about the problem, the solution, both. And I got what I needed and got hooked up with this lady, and she was like, yeah, you know, she didn't say yes right off the bat. She's like, well, sure, I'll talk to you about sponsorship. Do you want to meet such and such, right? So I already had to show her I was going to commit to that next time we were going to meet, right? And so I met her because I was desperate and willing. So I met her and she was like, well, you know, this is how I do sponsorship. You know, I'd like you to go to so many meetings a week and I'd like you to make one of them your home group. Well, I kind of knew what that was because I had to grab a pamphlet. And that means you're going to show up, you know, to these committed meetings every week unless you're sick or out of town or, you know, and then I want you to get a job in the home group, like help do something there. I want you to show up for their business meetings. So hopefully you're going to get a home group that has a business meeting, you know? And And then you're gonna, I'd like to meet with you once a week. You know, these are, you don't have to do these things, but if you want me to sponsor you, you do. So we're gonna meet once a week and we'll read through the book of Alcoholics Anonymous together and do the steps. And so we came up with a date. I was gonna meet her, and she lived in Ashland and I lived south of Richmond. So it's a long drive, but I was desperate and willing. And what would I do for a drink? So so I did it. And I met with her once a week. We read through the book. We did the steps together. I made that my home group, Jaywalkers. It was my home group of 3 years. And you know, in that home group, I became the greeter, which was cool because, you know, drinks would really get me out of my shell, right? I mean, I would like stand up in the bar and dance and probably do God knows what with some drinks. But without them, I was like, oh, maybe I'm a little shy. I'm a little, you know, I don't know. You know, I thought that I was had all this delusional thinking when I was drinking. And you know, the truth from the false was just hard. But you know, being in that home group, being the greeter, I found myself learning who was new because it wasn't me anymore after a while. So that was cool. I could tell who was new. And then some of the best things that happened in those 3 years in that home group was I remember somebody being up at the podium sharing one time and how I helped them. I had no idea that I helped them just because I made them feel welcomed at the meeting. You know, that was something my sponsor told me to do. Hey, when these were other things she told me to do. You know, I want you to get some numbers of some women and I want you to call them, you know, exchange numbers with them. Don't just have mine. I'm not guaranteed to be here and stay sober. So you need to network with these other people in AA, not just me. And so I did that and I'm grateful for that. And we read through the book every week. The home group, another, I love sharing this because it just instilled with me. I've always had a home group. And that home group, man, we showed up for, well, they showed me how to show up, right? So we had one home group member who was dying of cancer. And, you know, you get to know the home group members. They become like your family. You're seeing them every week, you know, and our meeting was twice a week. And then I became the coffee maker. So that was another service position that was huge because that meeting, if you've never been, is huge. And God blessed me with my first child in sobriety. So I got pregnant, while, you know, my first year of AA, I'm pregnant. And I didn't plan it that way, you know. That was God's plan. And thank God my kids have never seen me drunk. I have three today, 20, 18, and 6. Actually, she's 7. But and she came in my 40s as a big surprise. But anyhow, so I'm carrying this big carrier and making all this coffee with my child, right? My newborn. And so the home group. Oh, so back to the guy with cancer. Sorry, I skipped a bit, but like we showed up for him at his house. He couldn't come to the meetings anymore. So then we took meetings as a home group to his house. We helped clean his house, you know, all these things, acts of service that we did. And then they showed up for me because I was the coffee maker and I had an alternate coffee maker because our group was so big. And I had to call him because my child, my firstborn child, was in the hospital. Like something kind of big deal happened to her neurologically. So it became a huge medical issue. And she was only like 6 months old. And it happened where we were going into the hospital on a Friday. And Friday night, I had to make coffee. So I would have never thought about calling you guys had I not had that coffee position in that home group. So thank God for the home group. Thank God for the service positions that we can have here because I called my alternate and I was like, hey, Eric, I'm on the way to the hospital. I was like, my child, my one and only child, you know, I'm like freaking out, right? And if you have kids, you probably know what I'm talking about. And so we're going and we ended up being in there for a week and it was pretty serious stuff. So I was an emotional train wreck. And I think they even had to come see me in the hospital. Like I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown. because of my child, and I had no control, right? And we like to control. And so, but my alternate coffee maker, what happened was he went to the meeting, people missed me because I'm there every week unless I'm sick or out of town. And he made the coffee and he shared with a couple of them that know me. Well, where's Melissa? Well, she's at the hospital. So then you guys started showing up at the hospital. I mean, I needed it. And it was just huge. And it has instilled in me the importance of the home group and the service positions in the home group and why that is such a huge deal. Anyway, so that was, yeah, I mean, being in AA, I've had so many eye-opening spiritual experiences that before I got sober, I don't remember anything like it. I just think I was not awake to it. They could have happened. I'm sure God saved me many a times, but I was not awake to that. And I feel like I have become awake to these things. And they continue to happen in sobriety. And I don't ever want to lose that. So, you know, I met with her. We go through the steps together. Fifth step, share it with her. You know, making amends later was, you know, another, the grandmother that I told you that I did not like, the one who told me like it was, right? She was like, you are, you know, all these things. I did not like her. I had another grandmother who just sugarcoated everything. I loved her. I loved staying with her. I didn't mind if my parents left me with her, but this one, no, right? I mean, I probably would have told you I HATE that grandmother, right? Which is not a very nice spiritual thing to say. And that's my mom's mom, right? And the stuff I put my mom through, you know, rightfully so, my grandmother said these things, but you know, at the time I didn't like it or appreciate it at all. And she needed to mind her own business. And I'm an adult, leave me alone, you know, all the things. But what ended up happening with amends, you know, I made a lot of amends, and that one sticks out to me with my grandmother because my sponsor and I, you know, before you make the amends, you gotta pray about it, talk about it with your sponsor first, kind of tell her what's going on and what you're thinking, because you know, you might not need to make all of them. And you don't want to mess anything up. But anyway, or you know, so you gotta run it by your sponsor, you gotta read them off, you gotta, you know, pray about them, see if you know, is God gonna guide me to do this? Do I really need to do this one, you know? But anyway, with my grandmother, I wasn't sure what to do because I never told her I didn't like her. You know, I'm sure she knew. Maybe. I don't know. But well, my sponsor was like, well, you don't want to tell her how you're feeling, you know, because that could hurt her even more, you know. So why don't you just start calling her once a week? And I'm like, okay, I guess I can do that. So I called her, and the first time she was like, who's this? You know, because I don't call her. Never. Yeah, and I forget how old I was. I was probably like 30 at this time, 50 this year. Or maybe I was 29. I can't remember. But anyway, upper close to 30. And I called her. And yeah, she really was like, who is this? I'm like, it's Melissa. And she's like, oh, hey, honey. You know, acts like sweet, which she's not. But she said that. And I was like, she was like, she thought I needed something, obviously, because I don't call her. But I would never ask her for anything anyway. So I don't know what she thought, right? But anyway, we just had a small little conversation of how's your day, you know, just something simple. And then I was like, well, all right, I just called to say hi. And she's like, well, okay, love you. Bye. And hung up, right? And then the next week. And then the next week. And then before long, I'm saying I love you back to her because she says it every time. And then I started to feel it because I was like, oh my God, I don't like this woman, you know? And but then like love came over me just from that act of doing that, you know? And so anyway, this is kind of funny, but like, so I had my third child like 7 years ago, right? And so that grandmother was still alive. And since then I had crocheted with her. I had taken my other kids over to visit her. We didn't have the best relationship, but we had one, and it was great. And it's a result of this, right? Working all this stuff here that we do, taking these actions and praying about it and doing all these things. So, and making amends in that way. So I had my third child, and my husband was like, and he knew because he had heard my story and he knew about my grandma, all the history of that. And he was like, we're leaving the hospital. I'm bleeding, all the things, because I just had a baby, ready to go home. And he's like, well, maybe we'll stop by your grandma's real quick on the way home. I was like, are you kidding me? No, and he's like, when she was getting old, and she literally passed like the week after, but we did stop because he suggested it. And we went, and I hobbled in there and whatever I was wearing from the hospital, barely could walk because I just had a baby, carried the baby in, go see her, go visit her, because selfish me just wanted to go home, right? But we went, and she got to hold the baby, and we took a picture, and we went home soon thereafter. She was thrilled, and then she died, So that was great. That was just a bonus to that story. And again, I still have that picture. My mom has it too. But anyway, so getting sober has just really changed my life. Going through all the steps, being sponsored. I've always been sponsored in AA. I haven't always gone to the same amount of meetings, and sometimes I can feel it when I'm not going to what I'm supposed to, what I'm supposed to be doing here. When I'm missing a part of the circle, the triangle, when I'm missing a part of that triangle, then I'm like, oh, and things start to feel rocky. Like when my sponsor first told me to draw the circle and triangle on the book when I was new, she was like, this is like a bar stool, If something's a little off, it might feel rocky, And I relate to that. I get like that today. So what am I missing here? Am I not going to enough meetings? Am I not calling enough women in AA? Am I not being of service to these people? Am I not doing enough service work? What am I doing? Do I have a home group? Yes, I've always had a home group. And I've always had a position in the home group. It's been different things. At one point, I was like a little, I was at the district level doing some things, and that was pretty cool. And I've been to lots of assemblies and all of that over the years. So I've seen a lot in AA, and it's awesome the amount of people. When I go out, of town, I don't leave AA. I hit a meeting when I go out of town. I look for them because you guys are my people. I remember I have other friendships outside of AA, obviously. I can be a friend today. I can be a worker amongst workers. I can be a friend. I can be depended on. I actually show up today to family events. I can hold my head up and not have to look down and feel ashamed. I do go to church now, and I don't sit in there with guilt, remorse, I'm going to hell, all that. Now I sit in there like, oh, thank God. And the other cool thing about church for me is I was sharing with my friend on the way that, all the things like how I developed my relationship with a higher power through you guys and here. Now at church, like I hear the same things, the same principles, all the stuff that I hear here, I hear it there. And it's really nice. And yeah, the pastor invites us over his house every other week. And I told my friend on the way, I'm like, so weird. Like, I wonder why he, of all the people that go to the church, why he invites us. But I think he likes what we have. Honestly, I think he, and I am going to also in my first home group, they were real hardcore AA, which is lovely. And I appreciate that. And they invited the pastors to the church in to sit in the meetings. And so recently I've gotten close with our pastor. We've only been in this church for going on 2 years. So I invited him recently. I was like, why don't you come to an AA meeting one night? Because you know what? It's pastors and lawyers and judges and all the people that, find us, or we find them basically. And then they might not know about the meeting. So you know what? Maybe he can send someone our way that's in need. And I want him to be more educated on AA because he did. break my anonymity from the podium one day or the whatever you call it. I was like, oh, geez, Pastor Aaron. So I ended up telling him, I was like, thank God I've been in AA for a while. I'm okay with that, but not really. So, I do share with people that I am in AA if I'm led. Like I told you, I work for a dentist, so I'll if I have a patient in my chair who is sharing with me something about, because it's like almost like I'm cleaning their teeth, but I was counseling or something. And so they confide in me, and so I pray it up in my head, which I learned from you guys before I talk, before I come up here and talk. I'm like, okay, God, please speak through me tonight for this share, because sometimes I have sick thinking, right? Or sometimes, please share with me or guide me to say something that's going to help someone in here, right? And that's my prayers for being a parent, a worker, all the things. Help me parent my kids, because it's tough. I don't want to strangle them, like I don't want to control them. I mean, I like control, right? But anyway, so yeah, I don't know. It's just been This has been huge for me in a change, just the huge change. I think my whole family sees it, which is great. Sometimes people see it and I don't even see it, But and the other thing I really like is how because I am kind of OCD and like a schedule and control, it is kind of nice to come to my meetings. And then these new women come in my life that I have no idea about and where they're going to fit in my schedule with three kids, a job, all these things. And I'm blessed to have all these things. And but you know what? There's always a spot. There's always a time. I pray it up and God makes it happen, And if something gets crazy, guess what? Then that woman doesn't show up. But guess what? I showed up. I showed up. I stayed sober. She might not have, but so and then it's to see other women get sober too has been like huge. And for me to be able to pass it on like my sponsor did to me, because then that's ultimately what we're here for. We're here for a spiritual awakening. Well, get sober. The spiritual awakening and the change. And then to help someone else. I mean, that's basically it. That's what it is in a nutshell. And it started with just taking some direction and doing these actions. And then that's still what I try to do today. And like I said, if I'm not doing them, I feel a little off kilter, and then I know what to do, and I'm grateful for the network of people that we have here. And that's where I was at with like going out of town. And now if I go out of town, I do want to find a meeting. I'm enjoying where I'm at, but I definitely want to go. And I've been to meetings all over, and it's been awesome just to see that we're everywhere, and anyway, I think that's about all I have to share. Thank you so much for asking me, Billy and Lynn. And I'm sorry you guys couldn't be here, but yeah, I got to see Lynn this past week at another anniversary dinner that she was at. And you all know Lynn from this group. And we share the same sponsor, which is cool. But yeah, that I think that's all I got. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.